Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome to the Coco Express Show for Thursday, August 25th, 2011. I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, and yes, I am live. I am coming to you live and so glad to be back doing this with you. And I mean, I have to say, I was away from home for a minute. This is what I call home, and I'm glad to be back. This evening, we have with us an extraordinary woman named Rafaela McEachin. Rafaela McEachin is a native of Brooklyn, New York. She attended Erasmus Hall High School, a well-known performing arts high school in Brooklyn. It's known to have fostered some wonderful talent, like Barbra Streisand, Clive Davis, Will Downing, James D. Train, Williams, Karen Benoit, Earl Grey, Stephanie Mills, Harold Perrineau, Cheryl Toussaint, Eli Wallach, Donnie Most, Mae West, Bobby Fischer, Neil Diamond, Dara Massmer. This is just scratching the surface and naming a few. And it just to say, you know, this is just an amazing training ground for a lot of wonderful talent that we've all enjoyed. She graduated from Erasmus at the age of 16 and attended the Shenandoah Conservatory in Virginia, majoring in theater, where she received a two-year degree. From there, she did a few things and became an entrepreneur, owning her own entertainment company and hair salon. She is now a published author and has a new venture. Please, please allow me the opportunity of welcoming Rafaela McEachin. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad you were able to join us this evening.
I'm definitely glad to be here.
Yes, you have a very impressive background, to be completely honest. Graduating from high school at 16?
Yes. It was something that, unfortunately, my birthday just came late, but I did graduate 6 months before my graduating class.
Mm-hmm.
So I graduated in January of 81, but I was supposed to be scheduled to graduate in June.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then that's great. Now, what did you study at Erasmus?
I was a theater major. I've done Off-Broadway in New York City. I've done Indigo Roses, West Side Story. So my major was theater. My minor was music and dance.
Oh, okay. Really? I didn't know that at all.
Yes.
And I went to Erasmus with you, and I guess I was in my own little sphere of entertaining whatever I needed to do, but that's excellent. Now, when you were at the Shenandoah Conservatory of Music, what did you learn there?
My major there was theater and business administrative, which was my minor, because I know that being in the industry, you know, sometimes you don't get as far as you want to go. So I took a minor of business because I just love doing business. I love to open up businesses.
Okay, great. That explains where you went from there. Tell us a little bit about what you did after you left there with a two-year degree.
After I left Shenandoah, it was April, actually, so you really can't get a job. So I worked for a summer youth program, which specialized in theater. It was called Brownsville Theater of Music, but it was a summer youth program. And so I specialized, and I danced, and I sung there. I've done quite a few shows after that. I say maybe in my mid-20s, of course, you fall in love. So I fell in love with the one that I believe was my soulmate. And so I got married, and I worked for the Department of Sanitation. I worked there. I was one of the first women in the Department of Sanitation. I believe my number was 26 amongst 7,500 men. So I was number 26 as far as a woman was concerned when the organization opened up to women. So as a city employee, I continued to work with the city, but during that time, I had opened up a management company called Barbour Entertainment.
Okay. Now, what exactly did Barbour Entertainment do?
I negotiated contracts for recording deals. I looked for artists. I did their press kits, and I went to actually shop around and get them deals. So it was. It started in my house, Staten Island. I had a house in Staten Island, and I took the business from ground up. And after, I'd say 15 years, I was on Wall Street negotiating contracts for recording deals.
Okay, so you are a bit of a trailblazer, and it seems like that is just your nature. You're a trailblazer because you were one of the first women to work in sanitation, and you started this particular business from ground up and in an industry where it's predominantly male-dominated. How was that?
I just say you have to stay firm, and I want to say not be weak.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I was the first woman on Staten Island because I transferred to Staten Island after so many years in Brooklyn. And I was also the first woman that pulled the barge in for the department. But I want to say you must be very, very tough if you don't want to involve yourself in what the industry has.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a real tough cookie.
Okay, when you say you were a real tough cookie, you were just as firm as a male CEO would be, is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. I would not shorten my artist, which meant that if I negotiated a deal, I wouldn't do a short deal because shortening my artist financially would be shortening me.
Okay.
And that's not what my life's about.
Okay, that's excellent. Now, you are venturing into a new enterprise, and it's called My Father's House Records. Can you give me, how did that all come about? And how did you, let's step back a little bit. How did you make the transition from where you were to where you are now with My Father's House Records?
Okay. After the management company, I believe 2005, I folded the company. My mom was very ill with cancer, and I wanted to be with her for every initiative pain. So when I folded the business, I stuck by my mom. When she passed away, I actually lost my mind because sometimes you live your life for other people besides yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have people that are dependent on you, you more of a supporter and you focus more on getting the job done. And when my mom passed away, I also was having some difficulties with my marriage. And so I just happened to, and this is a testimony of mine, I lost everything. I lost everything that I had built. In 2006, I actually drove to the Canarsie Pier to kill myself. I had closed the beauty parlor down. I closed the management company down. I left the department, everything.
Gee. Now, what brought you back to us?
Well, in the midst of me driving in the water, because, you know, I had let Satan whip me, actually, you know, and I am saved, but at that time I let Satan whip me, and Satan told me to drive in the water. And as I was in the midst of the water, going in, I heard a voice say, "No, my child, you're going to get in that car and drive till I stop you. Mm. And when I stop you, promise me you write your testimony."
Okay.
So I backed the car up, and I remember going to the Belt Parkway, the BQE, the FDR. It was actually November, Thanksgiving. I was supposed to be going to my brother's family's house to eat. I had lost my family and my mother, so I had nothing. And instead, I kept going past the Bronx, and I remember 81, and that's all I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And when my car stopped, it said Rochester, New York. So I'm no longer in New York City. I'm in Rochester, New York. And when my car stopped there, I just looked up and I said, "God, I know no one here. Why did you send me here? How did you remove me from one part of the world to another and take me from my comfort zone? What am I going to do here?" I was about 43 years old then.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of rough trying to transition from being successful and in your comfort zone in New York City, knowing how to get around, negotiate everything that you wanted to come somewhere where you don't know.
I understand that. I understand. Now, how did it bring you to My Father's House Records?
So, as I got here, I decided writing, and that's what made me the great author that I am.
Okay.
It was God that allowed me to write. So it was just a therapy. I was writing. I was angry. And in the midst of me being angry, I wrote four books. The first one is called The Many Hats of a Woman. That was released 2008. And then I stayed in Rochester. I taught in Rochester City School District. You know, I just did everything that God had given me that I didn't know before, that they were all gifts to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say in January of this year, as I was going back and forth and ministering, letting my pastors and just fellowshipping, God had ministered to me and said, "You know, no one knows your secret but me. And I think it's time. You have learned who I am. And I know that you will never forsake me. So start working on your project." I had lost everything once again. I had lost my job up here, everything. And God said, "Just work on the project. I'll finance it for you. Just work on it. Don't worry about how it's going to be financed." So one day I just started researching, and I went to four different, like, churches, and that minister or that bishop was saying the same word. But, you know, you have to get confirmation that this is God speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere I went, they kept saying, "Don't worry about the project. Just work on the project. Don't worry about how it's going to be financed."
Mm-hmm.
So that day I just looked up and I said, "God, you're the only one to know that I always wanted to own my own record label, and I'm going to work on this project." And that's how My Father's House, I named the label under my father, because that is who negotiating everything in this house.
Mm-hmm. And it says, and it states, "In My Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you."
Right.
Okay, so I understand where you're going, where you're coming from with that. And I really think the name that you gave your record label is just perfect. It is just perfect. Now, you mentioned that you started writing and you're a published author and you have several books. Tell us give us a little bit more detail about The Many Hats of a Woman, which is the book that you have penned in 2008, you said?
Yes.
Okay, can you give us a little bit more details about that book?
Yes. The book is actually about, I'm not even going to go in spirit with it. I'm just going to go in flesh for a minute.
Okay.
Sometimes everyone thinks that everything that glitters is gold. Every woman in the city wants to have and live a soprano life.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, we always say good girls always mess around and be with bad boys, and that's basically the situation. What I did in my book, I revealed all the negative that's in that kind of relationship. You know, so as far as the flesh, I had all that I wanted, all that any woman could desire. Even my husband, he was nice, handsome, but he just lived a different lifestyle than me. And, of course, when you love from the heart, and we women, we love deep, then I turned around and became the person he made me, someone just like him.
Okay. Okay, and this book is your story.
Yes.
Okay. That is interesting because it takes a lot of courage to be able to put yourself out there like that and let people hear your story, your testament, your struggle to become the woman that you are now.
Right.
And that's amazing and that's wonderful. Completely amazing. Now, what are the other two books or three books that you're working on or have worked on?
Living in a Glass House will be released December.
Okay.
That's actually the second half of The Many Hats of a Woman. I broke my life down because these are testimonies. And just to clarify what you mean, a lot of people can't reveal their life and walk proud as I am. You're right. And that's because when you live for God, see, I took my life in 2006, so I don't live for me. When you live for God and God has already forgiven you of all your sins, you can walk high and proud. Why it doesn't bother me? Because the book is very deep, and it's not a book, it's my life. So it's different for me. I didn't write about somebody, I lived this.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read the book and then you meet me, you're like, that is not that girl. She couldn't have been this. You know, but love takes you that far. I stand proud behind my book because it's a testimony. Mm-hmm. And the testimony is so other women and men can read and it could minister their lives. You know, I have a lot of like emails from other women. How did you deal with this? What should I do? I'm not a Dear Abby. I'm not God. But I just tell them the best that I feel they should know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up to every individual to take life for itself. But if you have something that's ministering to you and telling you, I did this, and you know that's wrong, don't you go do it.
Okay, I got you.
And for a man in the ministry, like a lot of men, they look at me and they say, wow, I wish I had a woman like you. No, you don't even know that the woman you're sleeping next to or the one you're dating is probably like me, but you're not giving her a chance.
Okay. Preach, my sister. Okay, now, My Father's House Records, what area, what group are you, what sector are you catering to in your particular business?
Okay, now that's a great question. I am saved, and it is built on a Christian base.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was of the world, my favorite music is R&B. I was an R&B singer.
Okay.
So I don't, this is God's house. And God wants all the music that he has blessed people with. He just don't want you to sell your soul.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I want neo soul, R&B, plenty of gospel. It doesn't really matter to me if you have gospel, if you have a rap, but it's a gospel, I'm fine with it. If you have a rap that brings some sense to this world and not selling your soul and shaking your ill nanas and all, so it's God's house. It's open to whatever he blessed people with.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you don't sell your soul, I'm fine because I'm not selling mine.
Okay. So you are, your business is a Christian-based business, and you take all genres and of talented individuals who are willing to be upright and decent and honest about the way that they produce themselves.
Positive, inspirational. I want to bring love back to families. You see, that's something that's gone now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they don't make that kind of music anymore. So I want to bring a family back together.
Okay.
However we move to it. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And I've heard some of the other guests that I've had on the show, they've all kind of said the same thing, that we really need to bring the love back in the music, and we really need to bring the music back in the music.
Right. Because, you know, today I believe in my heart, and I believe that the last era of both sectors where two parents were raising children was my era, our era.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I think there has been a lot of divorce, a lot of separations, a lot of illegit children, and there's only one parent. So because of all the love that I was taught, I just want to love them all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I get with the youth that's in the art. Because even in the school districts, they're taking the arts away. And
Yes. It's
not fair. Because how do you feed an art student and there's no art? Everyone is not built to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Yeah.
Everyone is not going to be a business major. So what happens to the kids that feed and have a passion and dwell on singing, dancing, and acting? What happens to them?
And there are also studies that say that the arts, the creative expression, also helps you with mathematics and all the other basic fundamental lessons that you're supposed to learn in school. And you're absolutely right. What happens to them? They wind up outside.
Right. They're outside on the corner getting in trouble. But if you took them into a studio and give them a mic, you would not believe what you hear. If you gave them a pad and a pencil, you would not believe what they write about.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to grab them while they're young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're all grown, and you have young adults that don't want to be taught anything. So my tolerance with them are, okay, if you don't want to hear what I got to say, then I'm going to let you live your life. But you know what? A couple of years from today, you'll think back and say, wow, Rafaela did tell me that. But I want to grab them from the beginning.
I understand, and that's excellent. That's really excellent, because their minds are still young and they still can be shaped and molded into understanding and learning and developing. And that's, I can see why you're going with that particular sector. What other creative projects are you involved in at this time as well?
Actually, with the label and my books, like I have deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished a project. Every year in Rochester, I work at a rec center where I organize a talent show. And so the talent show was last week, and I also got them exposure, something that they don't get here. And that is why I believe that God brought me here, because I don't have a problem with, I want to say it in a street format of hustling to get what I need to get for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And people are afraid to call others. People are afraid to negotiate and let's network. Let's do this for the children. So I believe that that's why God has brought me into where I'm at today, because there is a lot of talent in Rochester, New York. I could not believe it when I got here. And I was like, oh, my God, and they have no way of getting exposed. So, you know, I do all that I can.
Mm-hmm.
But so that was my project that I had worked on. So Friday was the last day. Friday was the talent show. And, you know, and I work with these kids every year, and every year we get bigger and greater things. You know, next year I'm hoping that we can get, it's called Liberty Pole. It's like the main street. And it's called Liberty Pole, something like, I want to say in New York, where everybody hung out would be maybe like the Village Park, you know,
yes,
West
yes.
Park,
mm-hmm.
And you know that pole in the middle?
Yes.
And you hung out on the grass? Well, in Rochester, they have, it's a main street, and I would love for it to be closed down and give my children their time. And let them be exposed as far as God would allow them to be exposed. So So that's what I'm working on for next year, but I have to prepare myself this year. I have to make phone calls. I have to holler, scream, and, you know, do all that God has taught me because I want these kids to be seen.
Yes, you have to get the sponsors and donators and all of those people involved and in place to make it happen the way you want it to happen. And right now it's going out into the universe, so you never know. You just never know. So you may be saying it and maybe already in place.
And that would be perfect. I know that God has me.
Yes.
My kids are always excited every year. Every year we do something more and more greater for them to be, you know, recognized, you know. So
now,
and I have a rapport with their parents, and that's an excellent thing.
Yes, it is indeed. It is indeed to have the parents involved. Parental involvement is so key and so important in their development and success as well.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to ask you this as a female business owner who has run successful businesses. How would you explain to someone, how would you split your time between being an author and a businesswoman and also doing the community involvement and development? How do you manage all of that? What makes you tick and what gives you the ability to be able to manage all these things, and how could someone learn from you?
I want to say, Aurelia, that because I was an art student, I think my drive will never end. But who allows me and who gives me the strength is God. Because some nights I'm here, because I'm also in school for my master's online.
Okay.
So some nights I'm here, and I'm like, oh, God, I can't do this homework tonight. But he gives me the strength, you know. How I divide my time is unspeakable. I think the 8 weeks that I do every year for the city of Rochester, I do those 8 weeks, and I knock those 8 weeks out. When I come home, though, I write in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Or I see what networking I have for the business. And then I go and do homework. So I'll be exhausted.
Okay.
But my drive is for the kids. My drive is because God has given me these gifts, and I know what they are now.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I didn't know. Before, I thought I was the man. You know, I had it going on. You know, I got money coming from everywhere. I am successful. And that's not what I am today. I'm a different person. And I do it because it's the drive in me. God has given me so much drive to do for these kids.
Okay. Now, what advice would you give an artist who's just starting out on, or someone who's starting a new endeavor? It could be owning your own or just stepping out and doing something different. What advice would you give them?
That's an excellent question. I'm glad you asked that. Don't think, this is for every artist, every business owner, don't think that it happens overnight. Don't allow anyone to tell you if you start today, tomorrow you're on top of the world. When I built my management company, I built it from ground up in New York City from an apartment. I worked in there. I had those spirits coming in and out of my house. I went to studios. I have done it all. But you know what? I want to say after 10 years that the business was up and running, I was recognized through everywhere. Everywhere I went, people knew who I was. So it's not overnight. And for an artist, you got to keep your foot in it. That's what I got to say. You got to keep your foot in it. Don't think that you're going to come across someone and they're going to help you. You got to help yourself first. You got to make sure when you get people's business cards, you look online, you research them. Make sure that they're not going to rob you. They're not going to take your stuff. With the copyrights, you have to take it to Albany and Washington. You must pay the $20 or $30, whatever it is. You cannot mail a copyright from your house back to your house. That does not fly in court anymore. People can get your stuff. It's a devious business if you allow it to be.
Okay. What other, I mean, you are really putting some stuff out there, some really good advice, some really words of wisdom, some really key and important facts that people should know. Now, from the artist perspective, when you say don't let nobody rob you, what incidences have you come across or have heard in your years in the business that an artist should really know about and not be caught off guard with?
Okay. Word of mouth don't work. I know you know these people for a long time, so-and-so knows so-and-so, and they're going to help me. They're not. With the so-and-so, get yourself right. Whatever you're doing, if you're singing, do your copyrights on your own. Get you a manager. Don't go to a record label by yourself. They're not even going to see you. Get you a manager. You need to spend some time with that person, research that person, because you know what? That person is negotiating your life. You need to make sure that they're going to negotiate the right percentage and that you don't get stuck at the end. You need to make sure that they're teaching you the business. A lot of managers don't like to do that, but I've always taught my artists the business because one day I'm not going to be around, and I want you to understand and know how to negotiate your own contract. Make sure, for me, like when I was a manager, I made sure that my artists, a certain amount of money is going to, okay, what do you want to do? Because you know what? Your voice ain't going to be around forever. You want to open some kind of business? Let's start doing that. You know, because you need to keep them financed in all aspects. Watch who you hang out with. Because you know what? Those same people could get you in trouble. If you're an artist, you're really in a glass house. Because if you have a good manager and they're pushing you to get a deal, you know, it happened to me one time. I was negotiating a deal. I had my artist with me. The next day we were supposed to sign a contract, and the next day he was in Rikers Island because his baby mama, all of that drama. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So you get that far, and you don't even have the artist, and you're only the manager. I'm not trying to shop myself. I'm not singing for nobody. Not that I can't, but that's not what I was there to do. So you're really living in a glass house as an artist. And that is the name of my next book, Living in a Glass House. But
okay.
Just to throw it out there, to come out December.
Now, where can we find your books?
Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
Borders, Amazon.com, any bookstore. You can buy, get it from my publishing company. It's Pendium Publishing. You can get it off my website. I have quite a few websites. All over. You could just go online and put the name in it and show you everything.
Okay,
I'm an open book.
It comes up as Rafaela McEachin?
It comes up as Rafaela. The first book comes up as Rafaela McEachin Barbour. Barbour was my married name. I'm no longer married.
Okay.
But you can still get it. You know,
okay.
That's the beginning of all the transitions of my life, so.
Okay.
Yeah, but the first book will come up, Rafaela McEachin Barbour. The second one will be Rafaela McEachin.
Okay. Now, you've told us where you can find your books. Where can we find you?
Woo!
Websites, web address, email address.
I'll give you a couple of websites.
Okay.
If you can write them down, it's www.webs.com.
Mm-hmm.
That'll show you when the book first came out. It'll tell you all my information. You can put information in the icons. Just click in, and whatever you want to do, it's my website. That's my website.
Okay.
You can get me at pendiumpublishing.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can get me at myfathershouserecords.com.
So, because I know we went over this earlier, and it's Father House.
It's Fathers. Myfathershouserecords.com.
Okay. My mm-hmm. Fathers.
I have Facebook. I have Twitter. I have Link. I have MySpace, Black Planet.
Okay, you everywhere.
Yes.
Okay, this is a woman who means business, and she is all about business. However, her business is God's business, so it's going to be good. And we have to keep that and bear that in mind. If, like she said, if you need to contact her, she has myfathershouserecords.com, which will take you to her. If you want to find her books, you can Google her. That's one way. www.webs.com. Pendium Publishing. And, I mean, these are all great ways to reach her. And if, okay, let's just say someone has an artist and they want them to be heard by you. Is there a particular thing that you need from them? What exactly do they need to come to you with? I mean, not just an artist, but they need to have some kind of information about the person or what? What do you need?
Okay, well, I'm a record label, and when you come to a record label, you have to have a press kit, which is actually a resume of the artist. There's three parts to the press kit. The first part is an 8x10 headshot. The second part is sort of like a resume, like what inspired you to be in the industry? Who did you do work with? Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third part is, it used to be three tracks, but I take five because of the fact that I need to hear you with your own original. So, like, three songs you can do with someone else's music, which is a track. I'm sorry, I should have just told you what a track was first. A track is music.
Mm-hmm.
And you're singing underneath someone else's music. And then I would like to have two, just your original, so that I can see where I can market you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's basically what an artist needs, and they have to have that stuff.
Now, do you do YouTube and all that other stuff?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I forgot to say I have a YouTube account. I don't go in too many of those accounts because all of this crazy music that I'm really not feeling, you know, so I don't really go in. I do a lot with my father's house. And like I said, I'm not banned in any music. It's just that, you know what, and I'm not ashamed or embarrassed, but I don't look my age, but I'll be 50 soon, and I'm not trying to hear that stuff. You know, when you see me, I look like a young girl, but I got some time on me, and I done heard enough of that selling your soul. I shocked a lot of that stuff, and that's not what I want on my label.
Okay, understood. So you got to come correct when you come to you.
Absolutely. And if you need some advice or someone to help you put it together, I don't mind doing it because that's my specialty, management and putting stuff together. I don't mind if an artist calls me and say, you know what, I don't really know what you're talking about. I don't know what you were talking about on the talk show or whatever. Can you explain it? I'll break it down, and I'll tell you. And you can send me. I'll tell you if that's good or not, you know.
Okay, that's great.
I'm very honest. Very honest.
So you don't mind being a mentor as well, and that's excellent.
Not at all.
That's excellent. Well, I have to say that in our brief conversation here today, this evening, I've learned a great deal about you. I mean, I've known you personally for a number of years. However, there's a lot of things that I didn't know about you. And I have to say, I come away knowing so much more with so much, a much greater respect for you, who you are and what you've done and what you're doing now. And I just have to say thank you for sticking with us and sticking in there and being true to the nature of God's calling for you.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. And as she said, you can reach her. MyFathersHouseRecords.com is probably the easiest way to get in contact with her. And I will post this information on my website so that you can be able to contact her if and when you need to. And I'm also going to put her press kit requirements as well as some do's and don'ts. So
okay.
I would like to, and my website is thecocoexpress.com. So it's thecocoexpress.com. You can easily find it. You can Google that as well. And I would truly like to take the opportunity, Rafaela, and thank you so much for joining us this evening. I would like to thank my listeners for your continued support. And please continue to come back because she is what we at the Coco Express are about, bringing people to you who are about making your life better and helping you fulfill your desires and dreams and God's plan for your life as well. So with that in mind, Rafaela, I want to thank you once again.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And you have a wonderful evening, okay?
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.